Hey, so this morning we have a special treat, I hope. I was telling somebody earlier that usually when I show up by middle schoolers and high schoolers, you're dismissed. So usually on a Sunday morning, I think like, hey, I hope I don't say anything dumb today. And now my worries have multiplied. Just kidding. But what these guys are elders, either the elders that are rotating on or the elders that are rotating off. Our church is an elder-led church, and so these guys are the guys that are praying and thinking and discussing and guiding and deciding. I feel incredibly blessed to be a part of this team, and I'm very, very thankful for their leadership. And in fact, on Tuesday night, we had our meeting where the two new elders are rotating on and the two old elders are rotating off, and we prayed for the ones that were leaving, and Jim made us a delightful meal. He kept telling us, and then he's like, nobody lies here. Anyway, his wife did. I thought you guys would already understand, but she was looking at me like, what? So we had a meal together, and we just had this really special time of kind of like a passing the torch, praying, and I was just thinking through. Jim and Mike are the two that are rotating off, and they have gone through a lot in these last 3 years. They stepped on at the toughest moment, and they kind of were the guys that carried this torch, and I was just so thankful for their leadership, and I didn't want them to rotate off. It's scary, but I guess it's in the bylaws. I know those are important. The idea behind today is for them to get to share some of what God's doing in their life, some of what they're hoping for in the church. I want you guys to know who they are and hear more of their heart and what they're hoping to have happen and what God's doing in their life. And so I'm going to have each one introduce themselves, and then I gave them a list of questions and I let them choose. I didn't want to like put them on the spot. I let them choose which questions they would answer. And so I'll ask those questions and they will answer them. And this will be our message time today. And I'm excited about it and nervous for some of you. Just kidding. So we'll just go down the line for the start here. And the first one is just, what's your name? How long have you been an elder? And what's one fun thing about you?
All right. Well, my name is Mike Rose. I've been an elder now a year. I'm starting my second year of a three-year term, and it's been a great year. Fun thing about me. Like everything to do with the outdoors, at any time I can possibly be outside, I'd like to be outside. That's fun. Judy and I RV and camp and travel and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, that's me. Cool.
Let's set that one aside. Probably. My name's Jim Lawhead. I will be rotating off this year. We serve a 3-year term, and my thanks to the bylaws, my term is up. No, it's been a real pleasure and a blessing to serve. How long have I been an elder? Since the beginning of CBC, I've served on and off, so it's been 25 years. A fun thing about me, that was, I don't know that I'm that fun, much fun, but I used to think I was really good at racquetball. I played a pretty good game. I have a son who, that's the only game I could beat him at. Before he was 14 years old, I could beat him at most games, but after that, so the fun thing is he's quite talented musically, sings, plays sports, active, athletically, and I build things. So.
He's a great builder. My name is Jeff Smith. This will be my second year as an elder, and something unique about me, I get to travel for work, which I think is the best job in the world. I'm a pilot for FedEx, and so I spend about 10 to 14 days every month in other countries, just around the world, anywhere from Asia to India, Middle East, Europe. I get to go all over, and I absolutely love the traveling and the food and the culture and meeting other people with different backgrounds.
Hey, good morning. I'm Mike Shaw, and I'm, as Trevor and Jim mentioned, I'm rotating off also. something fun about me, it's a pretty short list. I love serving at Food Pantry. Oh my gosh, that's physically hard, but such a rush to be able to serve our community. And I really like Bollywood movies. Anybody else like Bollywood movies? I love them. And Trevor, you're the new board coming on. Oh my gosh, you have no reason to be the least bit apprehensive. Getting Mike and Jim off, you're doing great.
Well, I don't know about that because I'm coming on, so we'll have to wait and see about that one. My name is Craig Island, and I've been off and on elder over the last probably 20 years. I'm the one coming on this time, been a couple of weeks now. Love being back with the guys. One thing fun about me, I'm with Mike. I love the outdoors, if you don't know that about me. Extremely, if I'm by myself out in the outdoors or if I'm people, I really feel God's presence when I'm out there over anywhere else with my family, when I'm enjoying creation with them also. And also, I love to play pickleball, and I have some pickleball friends here with me this morning. Thank you, and thanks.
My name is Brad Stuve. This is my third year of a second term, so sixth year overall. My family and I have been here at CBC since 2015. And something fun about me, I'm not sure my wife thinks it's that fun. I watch too much sport on television, and I follow too many different sports. So I'm like rotating between foreign cricket and rugby and then domestic football, and yes, I enjoy it all.
And before we get to me, we're going to hear from Jake Dilbeck.
Hey, good morning, CBC family. My name is Jake Dilbeck. This will be my second year serving on the Elder Board, and something interesting about me is that my wife Jenny and I started dating here at the CBC Youth Group. And we will now have been married 18 years this coming August.
So that was live from Jake's fire station in Los Angeles. It was not. So, my name's Ron, and I'm the executive pastor here. I came on staff in 22. We started coming to CBC back in like 2000 and... Do I hear a number back there from the back row? 2011, good, when we were at Johnson Street. It's a privilege to be here. I'm the executive pastor. One thing that's fun about me, other than that I'm just tall and good looking, is I have great grandkids, a great great family, and that I love anything that has to do with the water.
Awesome. And then the first question here is, share an area of your life where you have changed or developed this year. Share an area of your life that you've changed or developed this year. Any of us, yeah. Then pass the mic.
I'll take it. Are you going
to? Sure. I think we're all answering this one, aren't we? Aren't we all answering this one?
Brad wanted all of us to answer this one, but yeah,
I'm putting us all on the spot
now.
Yeah,
Brad's going to go first.
I will go first. Where have I changed or developed in the last 12 months?
Yes. Yeah, not like as in the last 9 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the last 9 days, I eat healthy,
pounds,
I'm self-controlled.
That's,
that's great.
In the last 12 months, changed or developed, I think... Well, to go back the year before, 24 was a challenging year. It was my first year on the board, and as well as being on the board, I led the search committee that thankfully resulted in Trevor joining us. So I think in the last 12 months, I relaxed a lot more once Trevor came on and we started to, you know, see things grow and change and develop here as a church. I think personally, the last 12 months, I was able to really just, I don't know, focus on my... I spent more time reading scripture than I had in the previous years. So that's one thing that I really appreciate and have stuck to.
Okay, I guess I'm next. So how I've developed or grown over this last couple of months especially, it's always amazing to me how God has revealed himself to us. And the more that he reveals himself to me, the closer I get to him. And over the last couple of months, I've been reading through this book. Some of you may know it, Cold Case Christianity by J. Warren Wallace. In fact, our men's group a couple of years ago at our conference, we had the speaker come and speak to us, and now I'm actually going through the book. It took me a little while to get there, but it is fascinating. I am amazed at how God has preserved his word for us. And the way he does it is he was a cold case investigator in LA. And what he does is he's applied that to the scriptures and how we have come up with what we have today. Is it really what we have had 2,000 years ago when they actually penned it? And what he does is he goes through the case of the disciples, not only the disciples, but then their disciples, how that was handed down, and then their disciples, all the way through to, I think it's like 363 AD, where the Council of Laodicea came about, and each through each progression, each of these men had preserved God's word through the generations, and so that it hasn't been changed, and that amazes me, that we have another aspect of what God has done and how he's preserved his word to us. Not only how he has revealed himself to us, in other ways also. So the closer, the more I read and know about God, the closer I get to him. And that's what I love about being a Christian.
Yeah, there's been a lot in this last couple years. I answer that a lot more detail in my other answer. So I'm going to kind of just pass and put a pin in it, and I'll get back to that shortly.
Sounds good.
Something I've been excited about this past year is the book of Ephesians. And just kind of randomly, I started listening to a Francis Chan sermon series about it that was like 30-something weeks long. And then I discovered the Bible Project. If you guys have not checked out the Bible Project online or the app, it is an incredible resource with awesome videos and classroom studies. And so they had a series on Ephesians. And then Trevor preached on Ephesians after all that. So I've just really taken a lot away from how much Paul packed into that book with the story of redemption and unity. You know, talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, the redemption, that reunification of God's people back to himself, and also that unity among believers, and just how critical that is to God's plan, that his plan is for us to live and work together, to love one another to the point that the rest of the world will look at us and go, man, there must be a God, and there must be a Jesus. And I know none of that is new. If you've been around the church at all, that is like a very like basic principle, but I feel like personally it's just I've understood it at a much deeper depth this past year through those studies, and I'm just like really excited about it.
So my thought, I've been a Christian all my life. I've obviously grown, and it's just been a steady pattern of knowing more and more about God up here and moving to my heart at times. And this past year has been one where I've knowing God is sovereign and in control, and yet when I see things like Mike go through something suddenly, or many others in our congregation where, God, why this? And it makes you lean on him and trust and just rely on his faithfulness. And so not just physical things like that, but also areas of life where I know people who are making bad decisions, and you know, I have some influence in their life at times, and yet I don't see that it's impacting. And so they end up making decisions that cause harm to them and to others. And again, it's just one of those things where you have to say, Lord, I give it to you. You're in control. I don't understand your sovereignty and man's will and how that works together, but I know you are sovereign, and I believe that and trust that. So I've known that for years, obviously, but it just becomes more real every once in a while, and past year has been one of those times.
Well, one of the ways that I've just felt God kind of working in my life and with Judy and I, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, which we're super excited about this week. Yeah, it was great. And that's been neat. And, you know, 25 years is a long time, and, you know, there's seasons of life and everything. And God's just been doing a lot in our marriage this year. I think it started with the Islands actually hosting and leading a marriage small group, which was really, really neat and just also is a blessing to be kind of like discussing that and working through life with other couples and coming together in that. I thought that was a really special time. But also just timely for Judy and I. It was time for us to kind of reconnect and pull close together, and God did that for us and really blessed us in that way. We were checking in on our anniversary, and we both just agreed this has been one of our favorite years, just period, you know, which has just been neat. Yeah, it's been really good, and a lot of that is just God working within that, our marriage, and bringing us closer together. And also with family and with church too, of just a lot of leaning on God, a lot of looking to Him for support, and with open questions and tough decisions and things like that, I'm just feeling very reliant, and that's okay. Like, I feel good, and it feels good to be able to lean into God and say, I don't know the answer here. I'm gonna need some help.
Very good. I think for me, this year has been interesting because there's been these lessons that God's taught me over the years that have this year I've suddenly needed, if that makes sense. And sometimes it's even stuff that, like, I lecture my team about. Sorry, guys. I'll lecture them. I'll cry thinking about it. I'll lecture them all the time. But you guys can do difficult things. Stop saying that. They would tell me, we're just a girl. And the girls can do hard things. There were times this year when things got really difficult, and I'd be like, I'd hear myself, like, lecturing them, like, they can do difficult things, can't you? Like, and, or just, I could kind of go on and on about these different moments this year where things that God had grown in me in the past where it was like, oh, I needed it for this season. And so I've been very, very thankful for that. So Jeff gets to be the next one. And our next question here, in fact, you're the only one that opted to answer this question, Jeff, so here we go. At least that I remember to write down. So if anybody else took it, you can grab the mic too. But how have you seen God's faithfulness in your personal life this year?
All right. So just to be kind of vulnerable and open with everyone, this last year has been another really hard year for my family. Most of you know my wife, Shannon. She's working in the children's ministry back there today. And then we have two young boys, Ryder and Asher. Ryder's 9, and he's on the spectrum for autism. And that plays out in a lot of different ways, but one of the main ways that manifests itself is his anxiety and stress are really high, and then that's kind of combined with he has a hard time with self-control, and so will just spike very quickly, and he's kind of always on edge. So that makes our house rather tumultuous often. And then we got Asher, who's 4, and he is just learning the world like any other 4-year-old and copying the behaviors that he sees. And then, like I said, I'm on the road a lot, you know, a third to half of every month. And so that puts a lot of extra burden and weight on the shoulders of Shannon. Also, it's her birthday today. So if you see her, tell her happy birthday. Yeah, and so it's hard. I would describe our house as high stress very much of the time. But God is faithful. And he's good, and he promises that we won't do this alone, and he won't leave us on our own. And so there have been many ways I've seen God's faithfulness this last year. The first one, in January last year, we were approved for a service dog, and so we have a beautiful yellow lab now that's been a great addition to our family. We're able to hire a babysitter to come help out a couple times a week when I'm on the road, and she's a believer, and the kids love her, and so that's been a huge relief as well. And then probably the biggest one is just the support and encouragement from the CBC family, from all of you guys here, and the prayers and friendships. My wife, Shannon, and I also did that marriage class, a small group with Craig and Carol Island, and that has helped our marriage a lot. We're also part of another small group right now with other young parents, and those relationships have been really encouraging and helpful. I wish this was one of those stories where I could say life used to be really hard and then God did all these great things and now we're better, but we're very much in the thick of it right now and probably at, you know, the same like low, I would say, that we've been at for quite a few years now. But I think it's important in these moments to still look to God and thank Him, give Him credit for the ways that He has been faithful, because He has been. And it's easy in these moments just to focus on the pain, but God really is good. And way beyond those individual things I just listed on how He's supported us, having that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that this is not the end. You know, we have a future in heaven. And even this time right now on earth is so temporary in this season that we're in. So if there's anyone else out here today that is feeling kind of overwhelmed and just stressed out, know that God has a plan for you, and His plan is for you not to be alone, but it's for you to walk arm in arm with other people around you. If that's you today, please come talk to one of us. Talk to someone else that you know here at church, and we would love to get you connected, whether that's with a small group or just praying for you or getting you plugged in. Know that we've got a great family here and great resources. You're not alone.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. You know, as Jeff was sharing, when I was mentioning earlier that I've seen how experiences of the past, God was preparing me for now. Since you shared all that, I'm going to share this. One of those ways, it was actually in the top of my mind, I was like, I didn't want to get into details, but our oldest son has autism also. And when I was subbing, I subbed Pacifica High School for quite a few years, and I would sub the class for the with the disabilities, and there's three or four different classes, and I would go to those classes most, if those were needed, that's where they sent me. And there was one kid, and I'll never forget him, because he was different enough that he had to be in this class, but he looked around and thought, I'm not like these kids. And he wanted to be in the regular classroom. And my heart broke for this kid. And I'd see him, and he'd run up to me, and he'd tell me about his crushes, and he'd always have crushes on the girls in the regular classes. And they didn't want much to do with him at that point, and it was just kind of this awkward scenario. And my heart broke for this kid that's kind of caught between these two worlds. And then years later, I realized that was kind of where my son was. They were trying to push him to schools for kids with autism, and he was kind of in this transitional zone. And through the opportunity to pray for that kid and know that kid, when I was subbing, I didn't realize how much it was preparing me in God's faithfulness to get to be my son's father. And my son's awesome, and I'm thankful in a weird way for his disability, because, yeah, anyways, but that's a whole nother thing. But just to kind of share that to go along with Jeff and some extra thought about the faithfulness of God.
One more thing I wanted to add. It's so easy on a Sunday morning to just meet someone in the hallway or outside and say, hey, how are you doing? How's your week? And say, oh, things are great. You know, I'll talk about my last trip or whatever. And it's difficult on a Sunday morning to go deep. And so I just want to make an extra plug for small groups. Everything that Trevor said earlier was spot on. That's the place where we connect, and that's the place where we really support each other. 70% of you are in small groups already from what we learned last fall, which is awesome. So if you're part of that 30% that hasn't found one yet, please get plugged in. It is such a source. Such a source of life, and has been for my wife and I.
Awesome. So our next, yep, that's exactly the right direction. The next question Mike Shaw had signed up to answer, and it says, why did you say yes to being an elder? Why did you say yes to being an elder?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I wrote out my answers just to help me, like, stay on track. And Lisa's very smart. She politely asked me, like, would you please read me your answers before? Because you give Mike a microphone with no guidance, it could get weird.
I'm so sad about it.
You know, for context and brief history, Lisa and I have been coming to CBC about 15 plus years, and I've been on and off the elder board. I'm ending my third term. The first time, with lots of fear and hesitation, I said yes, primarily because of my respect for and the caliber of the guys that asked me. One of them was Joe Dilbeck, and I can't imagine the look on my face as I walked into his house for that first meeting. They saw something in me that I didn't see, and I still don't. I went to my first meeting with a big bucket of imposter syndrome in one hand and a big bucket of inadequacy in the other, and I was so loaded down I couldn't even open the door to his house. I have a full daytime job, and it's full of meetings. So when the guys asked me to join the board, my first thought was, wonderful. I've always felt my Tuesday nights were far too much free time and not enough spreadsheets. So it's like Thomas Sowell said, anyone that enjoys meetings should not be in charge of anything. So, but I do, at the end of the day, I do enjoy hanging out with humble men that love Jesus to accomplish a common goal, and that's helping more people to know Jesus. And running a church is complicated. I knew that I would grow through the process. I was hoping that just hanging out with such amazing guys would rub off on me a bit. Over the years, I've learned that I only grow through tough times. And this is all part of the reason why I said yes. So I knew that you only grow through tough times. And boy, over these three terms, did I have opportunities to grow. People are messy and complicated. On top of that, church finances and budgets are another opportunity demanding heavy prayer and discernment. And lastly, I wanted to model for my daughter that service is a blessing. The Lord does not need our help, but he wants to grow us. And the only way to grow is to get in the game and work through tough times. I wanted her to see that God doesn't call the equipped. He calls people that are willing to show up, trip over their own feet, and watch him do the work anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. So this next question, several of you guys have signed up to answer, and it's, how have you seen God's faithfulness to us here at CBC? Jim wants that mic.
I had to write mine down too. We started as a small group, and it was just a Sunday night Bible study, and I kind of went back and looked through, and there's about 25 of you that were part of that back then, and now you can see how much it has grown in God's faithfulness through the years. Our intent back then was not to start a church. It was to have a Bible study. And before long, we realized, I guess we are a church. And so in October of 2001, we applied to the state for to be a religious corporation and nonprofit. So that started the process. And through that time, we've witnessed a lot of blessings and a lot of challenges, and God has been faithful through it all. So I'm just going to kind of summarize real briefly the pastors we've had and God's faithfulness through that and the faithfulness of God through what he's done through this congregation. So in 2001, shortly after we, it may have been before we became a church, we called Ron Blomberg, who was part-time pastor for us. He lived down in Cypress, Orange County area. He worked at Biola University, and he would come up every Sunday and preach. And he also would come up during the week at times when we had elder meetings and help us in leadership and direction and all that. He was also gifted in the area of fundraising. That's part of what he did at Biola. He was a pastor previous to that, and then up in Oregon, I believe it was. Anyway, so he helped us in the process of fundraising to move. At that time, we moved from homes into Vineyard Church. We rented space from them in the afternoon, so we kept meeting Sunday evenings. And then Ron helped us in the process of fundraising so that we could move into property on Johnson Drive to get our own place where we could meet Sunday mornings, and we could have, develop ministry more. We had Awanas. That's where Food Share for us first started, and things grew. It started to grow more, and we leased more space across the drive from us for a youth room and hired a youth pastor. And so things, just God's faithfulness, even through that time, there were challenging days and seasons, but God had been faithful through all that. By the way, just a quick note, a plug, Ron Blomberg lives in Tennessee now with his wife and children, and he's just recently written a book, God's Special Needs Children. And so he's going to be here on the 29th to share about that book, and also, I guess you call it a book signing. But anyway, I encourage you to come. It's going to be on a Thursday night, the 29th, and he will share. It's not just about special needs children, but he was also going through a challenge with his mother-in-law, who was dealing with dementia. She's passed since then, but his book is about that, so he'll be sharing. In 2008, Pastor Bob was hired as our first full-time youth pastor, and for 15 years he faithfully preached the word, led us, and helped grow this congregation. And he had a desire to move from where we were on Johnson Drive, which was in a commercial kind of a hidden area, to a more, you know, a place like this. And hence God opened the door for us to find this, purchase this building, and continue to grow. Then upon Pastor Bob's resignation, that was in November of 2023, God brought Pastor Charles Clemens to be, we didn't really call him an interim pastor because he was just coming, you know, for a short time to help fill in. And that, Ron got sick, if you'll recall, and so Pastor Charles called and said, hey, I can continue on and I will do it until you can start finding a full-time pastor. It was never Charles' intent to ever be pastor of this church. That was always the idea that it was a part-time thing. And so Charles really helped us in a lot of ways. He helped us through the transition after Bob left. In who are we as a church, and you know, how do we develop to get a search committee together for a new lead pastor, which, praise God, Brad did a great job of going through all that. And so here we were in 2025, three candidates that were real possible lead pastors. Two of them dropped out, and Trevor came into the picture, and praise God, we are so thankful that God brought Trevor. I am excited about where we're going. I know that God has great things in store for our CBC to come. And understanding God's character and how faithful he's been in the past, I can only see great things coming in the future. I know there's going to be lots of joyous and grateful good times because God's God and he's in control. But I also know all of us sitting in these chairs are sinners. And so challenging times are going to come. And just be praying for these guys as they do. We don't know what they'll be, but I know that's how God grows us and shows his faithfulness to us. So I'm excited about where we're headed. I hope that Trevor does my funeral. That to say, I don't plan on dying soon, but I hope he's around a long time. So anyway, God's faithful. There's a couple of verses. Psalm 105, for God is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I have witnessed that. In my family, grandparents, parents, even before my grandparents, they came from Ireland and brought the gospel, and it's been passed down. And I've witnessed my grandparents, my parents, my family, my kids, my grandkids.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's God's faithfulness here at CBC.
Yeah, let's think about this question and think about the last year. I think, yeah, the obvious one, but the one that's just worth celebrating and highlighting is the Dasnoy family coming here this year. This has been a huge testament to God's faithfulness to CBC, which has been amazing. We all get to the benefit of hearing the word come through Trevor most Sundays, and that's amazing. And I know we all got to experience that. As an elder, I got to experience Trevor as a leader on the elder board, and he's just phenomenal, just an amazing leader, probably just surprisingly good. And
no, do you want me to do a funeral?
I thought, you know, I didn't know Trevor before you came here, but I'd heard of you through channels. And my picture was, okay, we're going to get a youth guy, and I think he's going to be a great preacher, and I know he's going to love God and everything, but he's going to have, you know, no one's got it all, right? You can't be, you know, every tool. And then, man, from the first meeting, it was like, wow.
I don't have it all. They could tell you right here, these two.
You know, you could have fooled me, but I was just very impressed. I was very impressed with how God had equipped you and prepared you for this role, and it felt right, and it felt at the right time. Trevor's an amazing leader on the Elder Board. He's also doing a fantastic job with our staff as well. He's just been a really, really, he's just, thank you, Trevor. You are a blessing to this church, and a testament to God's faithfulness.
So. Thank you.
The other thing I thought, as I thought, kind of in the past year of things going on, there's seasons, obviously, and man, you know, good and bad. Being an elder, you go through different things. October, man, this year October, it really felt like things just kind of reached a fever pitch. It was just for us. I know that Jim's been through the ringer for years and has, you know, really kind of experienced a lot. But for us, probably that month of October or September, October was. One of the times where there was, you know, the Charlie Kirk murder had happened. There was a lot going on in our country. The Adams had a tragedy in their family. It was just a lot. It was heavy. And there was a lot of unknowns. And there was a lot of just the path wasn't clear. And, so in the beginning, that's always frightening and scary. And like I said, there was a lot of leaning on God and just, I don't know what the answer is here, God. You're going to have to, we need to look to you. And you know, that's what we as an elder board were doing. I think myself individually, I was doing a lot of that. And seeing God be faithful through that and bless our congregation, we just have an amazing, loving, and graceful congregation. It's diverse with a lot of different opinions and views. We saw that kind of be prickly and thorny. And then we saw people come together and work through it together. And, Trevor gave it just an amazing series in the It's in the Name series. If you didn't see those or if you missed those, they're on YouTube and on our website. I would encourage you to go back and rewatch those. For me, those are kind of pinned as things that I want, like, ongoing. And when things get unclear, it's just the Church of Antioch and the picture of what we strive to do and what God has modeled for us. I felt, again, kind of those hard times really kind of show you what you're made of, and they show the personality of the church and what's God doing here and his faithfulness, both as a corporate, as a large organization, but also individually, and just how relationships and caring and how we all kind of leaned in and made it through together and were stronger for it.
That's awesome. And then Mike Shaw was going to answer this one too.
Yeah, it's going to be a little redundant with what Jim and Mike said, but God has been so faithful to CBC. The last few years have been challenging and could have caused fractures, but it only made CBC stronger. God has given us amazing resources to support us through these tough times, and in hindsight, it has significantly deepened my faith personally. So that's why it kind of answers that other question that I kind of skipped earlier, but when we're in the middle of some of these events, God provided resources that calm the winds and rough the seas. I'm in the back of the boat crying, but the things just kind of kept going. And especially like Jeff or Mike said, that in October, that's when I had some health stuff come up, and I was like, it was zero help. But just to see you guys work together, it was just so amazing. But I'm encouraged. The new board... they'll have tough times, but I know that they're going to work through it. And just as we stay humble, seek the Lord, we will grow stronger.
Awesome. All right, we just have two more questions. And this second to last question here is, what do you see God doing currently at CBC? What do you see God currently doing at CBC? And Craig is, or you can go too.
Well, I got the microphone.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll pass it down. I see a strong body of Christ that love Jesus and are humbly and happily serving in so many ways. I see a strong staff, elder board, and deacon team that have grown through these tough times. Just the joy that you see with the food pantry team out there. And the people, our customers in the cars say that. They see, as they're pulling up, they're like, oh my gosh, you guys are like just clearly so happy to be here and serving. And they are. It's fantastic. I can see in the staff and the confidence that they will weather future storms, not with arrogance and their own abilities, but with the confidence that Jesus is their rock. Satan will cause disruptions, but the name of Jesus will be proclaimed and the church will be victorious. They have the kind of confidence that only comes from seeing Jesus calm the waves firsthand. And lastly, since I still have the microphone, as I mentioned, we've had a weird couple of months, and Lisa and I just want to say thank you to the CBC family for seeing Lisa and me through these last few months. They've been seriously challenging, but through it all, we have seen God's faithfulness through you. I mean, it's just, so we have been blessed beyond measure, and I still remember the Christmas carolers that showed up just before. That just wrecked me, because this was a weird Christmas, but they just shown up. Lisa gets a text from Nancy, like, are you home? Yes. And next thing you know, you got 12 people on her front lawn, like, oh my gosh. So that was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, just a couple of quick things before I answer. Being said Jeff brought it up, it's my wife's birthday today, too. So wish her happy birthday on the way out. And the other thing, just to touch on what Jim said also about this building. For us coming into this building, you guys, it was a miracle for us to be in this building. Every time I step foot in this building, I thank God because of the way he brought this building to us through, you know, how we paid for it, how we came up with it, the purchase price, everything about it is a miracle. And that's how God leads us. Sometimes we're at the position of, okay, God, it's you. And we know we have to rely on you. And that's what makes it so astonishing when God answers our prayers. The things that I see going on here at CBC is, for one, is the all the new faces that we see. And then that's a blessing to see new people come in and enjoy this with us. And after service, during service, the connections that you guys make, it's like we really like each other. And that's good. That's a good thing that we want to be involved in each other's lives. And just the things that God is doing here and how he is bringing that to light for each one of us. And I always told Carol, it's like when we first started going to church, it's like, I just want to be around people that love God. And you know what? I have. I found that here. People that genuinely love God. And that's what makes us happy.
Yep.
Am I answering that one?
You're answering that one.
Read it to me again, please.
And it was, what is God doing currently at CBC?
What is God doing currently? Let me take a step back. I want, for the record, to say that Trevor was our number one pick. That it wasn't the other two dropped out, and then we went, oh, we're stuck with this guy. It was not that at all.
Yeah.
But I endorse also his leadership has been fantastic. And what do I see God currently doing? I think has been kind of mentioned, you know, this church, we've had tremendous transition. Probably like the last 5 years if we go back to COVID. We were meeting outside in the parking lot. We had turnover of staff, youth pastor in 23, worship leader in 23, senior pastor in 23. And I think what I've seen in the last 12 months is a real consolidating, some changing, new people joining, which is so wonderful. And I really think that God's really positioning us to, you know, be the light on the hill, to be effective, not just for our own sake, but for this city and the people who don't know the Lord. And that's what I see us being positioned for, and I'm excited about the future.
That's awesome. Thank you. And the last question is, and this is the spicy one, but we'll see what they say. Is there anything under the radar you think we need to be praying about or thinking about more as a church? Anything under the radar you think we need to be thinking about or praying about more as a church?
No. Yeah, there's about 23 different items that I'll go through. It shouldn't take me more than about 45 minutes, so buckle up there. No? Okay. I think there's four things, actually. One of them is a quiet heaviness that everybody carries with them. And I think, if you're not aware of this, I think everybody pretty much is just barely got their head above the water, and yet we're all fine on Sunday. And I think one of the things that we could do that's kind of under the radar is be more transparent with one another and share our burdens with one another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 23 was a pretty rough year for me health-wise. And through that, I learned that being, or I've started to learn more is that being transparent and open and honest is a very freeing and way to see God work in your life. So I just encourage people with that. The other thing is unity, is that as a body, I think this is probably the most unified church I've ever been a part of. And with that said, it's easy to find ways to be divided. Like, Brad's from Australia, so... So I love Brad, right? But there's so many ways that we can find, and it's easy to find, to be divided, okay? And we need to focus on how we can be unified, and we can only be unified through Christ. And if we keep our eyes on Christ, we'll stay unified. That's super important. The next thing is our next generation and getting them involved with the church. And, you know, I think we're doing a great job. And as we grow and change and styles change, it's going to be hard. I'm going to be the oldest since Jim's retiring. I'm going to be the oldest guy on the elder board. And change isn't easy. Change is difficult. But if we never change, we're never going to grow. And we need to grow, and we need to incorporate the young generation in that. And so we need to, again, look for ways to be unified in Christ. Things might change, and that's okay. And then the last thing, I have to put my glasses on so I can see, is that we need to, I don't need to put them all the way on. I just need one lens on my good eye. Yeah, Trevor's trying. He's like, does that work?
It doesn't work for me.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Is that if we build our relationship in Christ, the stronger our relationship with Christ is, the stronger our relationship with others are going to be. And I just encourage all of us to just grow your relationship with Christ, become closer and stronger, spend more time in His Word, more time praying for one another, and again, looking for ways to... not only serve, but to, be humble, be unified, and, be transparent with one another. So,
awesome. Yeah. So I think, Craig, you get the final word.
We just want to say one other thing, that Sam Phelps is in the audience, but he did join our elder board this year, too, and we're excited about him coming on board, too, with us. So thank you, Sam, for that also. I've been praying a lot about just the way, and now that we have, you know, our staff seems really good. It is good. We have Trevor on board now, and just the way that we can better or maybe more evangelize the community around us. I think our mission team is doing a great job on supporting the missions around the world. But it's like I look here and I look at the college right next door to us. I look at the high school down the street. I look at Starbucks right next door to us. We have a lot of opportunity to share the gospel of what we've been given. And the more I learn about God, the more I want to share that with other people. And how do we do that collectively and come up with different ideas of how to do that? So I have some thoughts in my head of how we could do that. To be able to do that and share God's goodness that He has given to each one of us. And I think that's definitely my prayer for this year.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Would you guys give it up for these guys? And I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna worship, and you guys can start making your way back to your seats, and we'll get ready to worship here. But as I mentioned at the start, I'm so thankful for this group of men. I'm thankful that I don't find myself in a situation where I'm alone in this adventure. That I'm being carried by these guys, and I love that. And I'll pray. Lord, I thank you for each of those answers. Lord, the representation of what's happening personally, but then also the picture of what's happening in our whole church body, Lord. And we just give this church to you. We know that you are in charge. You are over it all. Lord, we do pray for unity and growth, and that you'd help us to reach others with your good news. Lord, right now we commit this time of singing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.